And here we are for a Monday morning version of Dualistic Unity Raw. Not just a Monday, the last Monday. This is the final Monday before we are fucking gone for a week and a bit. Actually, we're going to be down there for quite some time. From April 11th all the way through until the 22nd, there will not be Dualistic Unity stuff. As I will be traveling, Andrew will be traveling. We're going to be in the California mini retreat. Oh, yeah. That is happening this coming Thursday. Thursday. Oh, my God. Yeah. This is going to be so fucking cool.
3 days.
I cannot wait for this retreat for a number of reasons. You see, the last time that Andrew, Jackie, Amanda, and I were all together was in Vermont. And that was in August. But at that point, neither Amanda nor Jackie were hosting Dualistic Unity. They weren't on the episodes. Amanda was working with us for sure as our administrative head, basically. But Jackie was doing her own thing, being a part of the audience, being in the Patreon groups, just being Jackie, being awesome. And so a lot's happened since the last time the four of us were all together. You know, there's been a lot of growth on everyone's part, including the audience and the listeners. And so I am fucking pumped about the fact that we're going to have all four hosts together and that we're going to do an episode together, that there's going to be a four host group episode in person being recorded in California. Oh, we've never
glorious.
Done that. We've never done that. That's going to be so much fun.
Oh, it sounds epic. Oh man. Yeah. Like a, our own little four horsemen round table situation. And who knows what we're going to get into on that, but it's really exciting. Yeah, thinking back to the August Vermont retreat, that was what now almost 8 months ago. That's oh man,
oh wow,
a lot has gone down, that's for sure.
I and can't even take in how much has happened.
Yeah,
honestly, that's fun.
And the amount of feels like growth and shedding as well. I think they kind of go hand in hand, but yeah, it's very exciting stuff. And we got investor presentation
this
coming
Wednesday.
Up on Wednesday, which I'm very excited about. We'll get some announcements out on that in the coming days, but over the next coming days, but also today. But
and I got to throw this out there that, you know, dude, come to the investor presentation. Even if you can't invest, it's going to be a cool chance to see kind of what we have in mind for as things expand. It also makes it worthwhile for all the fucking headaches that we're going through to do the damn thing. Because admittedly, like, it's kind of tricky. It'd be like asking a tree to tell you where it's going to be in 10 years. Right? And the tree's like, up. You know, but that's about all the detail I can really give, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, green leaves over here, and maybe those won't work out, but these will, and, you know, it's going to keep growing. Mm-hmm. But the detail is so hard, and that's very much how Dualistic Unity has grown, as something organic, as something that is just growing moment by moment, day by day, conversation by conversation. And so for us to all of a sudden sit down and try to write out, like, a presentation where we're like, okay, this is where we've been, this is where we are, this is where we're going. It's super weird. It's been not just entertaining, but a little frustrating here and there. Like, there's a lot of data. We're like, I don't know what to do with all this shit. And so we're sorting through it. But it's going to be worthwhile. If you can come, we would love to see you there. And we would love for you to see the fruits of all of our labor. It's so funny how doing a stupid plan for the podcast is so much harder than the podcast.
Oh yeah. I've been going all sorts of back and forth and just like trying to pin down what exactly, like measuring something that we've never necessarily purposefully measured, and getting even just metrics with, like, you know, what the market looks like, what the competition looks like, and getting an understanding for like how we fit into something that, like, we have to choose a category, but like, we don't really fit into like any of the spirit, because it's like spirituality and religion, self-help.
Yeah, we don't fit in philosophy.
No, So
we don't fit in society. Take that however you like.
And so, yeah, it's been fun working our way through, doing our best with getting this across, because anyone who's been involved knows we have a lot of fun things going on for sure. But it's very exciting.
Dude, I'm so stoked, because again, like, there's so much impact to be made, but the farther we go, the more clear it becomes what kind of impact it is that we have the potential to make with Dualistic Unity. And so the podcast is just the start. It's just the start, but it's also the foundation, right? Because it's kind of neat how the podcast introduces the conversation, brings the people together, that makes the other things more possible. But those things reinforce the podcast, mm-hmm. which reinforce those things again and allow for other things later. It's brilliant. You know, I've always said there has to be some mechanism that's just continuing to keep the ripple going. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise it's just, you know, it gets lost. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, moment of insight, moment of awareness. I'm feeling better. Now I'm going to go out there and compare myself to you mm-hmm. low consciousness person, you know, like that kind of thing, where, you know, it can't be that. And it can't just be short-term weekend warrior, I'm going to church on Sunday kind of connected with God bullshit. It really can't. Like, when you really start taking in just the story you have in your head is a story. That's really it. And if you take that in, not just go, oh, okay, and then move on with the next bit of like conceptual information you've picked up from someone else, and then you go and show it off as if it's your own, but to actually take it in and go, oh, so all these moments where I'm telling myself that I'm not doing well and other people would do better and I'm not, you know, in shape enough or good looking enough or successful enough or well-spoken enough, all of those thoughts are about a story and they're not based on me. And that's the point, right? It's so easy to get caught in it, but to take that in is to actually watch your life change, because you really do. Because all of a sudden you realize you haven't been living. You've been living in a story. And you start to peel that shit apart and you start to be able to feel your life and you start to feel connected to other people, not because you're trying to connect with them, not because you're making the effort to be compassionate or forgiving or any of that, but because you're not in the way. You're not in the way, so you're not judging them. So the divide's not fucking there. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, everything starts to change because of that. Just because you've stopped investing in something that was never the truth as truth. That's it. And, you know, what's great about that is there's nothing that you and I or anybody else has to do at that point. I mean, once you, hello, listener, really take that in and then understand that the rest of your journey, as much as your journey up until now has been investing in that story as truth, the rest of your journey can be letting go of that story as truth. It can be letting go of all of the limitation and attachment and fear and frustration and disappointment that goes with commitment to that story. The story can exist. You just don't need to think it's real. You don't need to think it's you. And once that happens, immediately you start to live. You start to feel a little bit more alive. You start to feel more uncertain, but that's where life is. And so everything changes. But imagine now, as you're experiencing that and other people are experiencing that, it's not a result of belief. It's not a result of philosophy. It's not following any fucking path or teacher. It's just one simple little insight that's being practiced by numerous individual people, changing their environment and changing the environment of everybody around them who maybe hasn't heard that insight yet. And it's not about telling them, it's about knowing it. It's about knowing it yourself, because then it comes across in what you're doing. And then it's not about, oh, I got to convince you, you're not your narrative. They're suffering. When they get tired of suffering, they're going to come and talk to you about that suffering. And you can go, well, have you ever considered that all of that's connected? You know, it's funny. We had that conversation yesterday. We were out sampling wings at Quarterway Pub in Nanaimo. And we were, two people from the pub sat down with us and we were talking about thought. Then I said, you'll never have a thought that isn't somehow related to this fictional version of you, that isn't somehow related to some idea of yourself that's nothing more than an assumption based on the past. And both the people just kind of stopped and you could see it process and they went, yeah, that's true. But how often have you ever heard that? You know, how often has somebody even said that or recognized it in themselves without trying to lord it over you, right? Without trying to like, learn this, you'll be happy, because they weren't happy themselves, you know? So just to have that organic growth and then to take that, and here's where I'm excited, and pool all of that excess attention. To use all of this excess potential that all of us are feeling because we're not so fucking lost and actually just do something together for our own reasons. You know, that's dualistic unity. It's fucking exciting. Like I love the fact that it continues to grow and evolve. I love that we hear from people who are starting new ventures, getting onto social media, launching a podcast, doing whatever, when at one point they told themselves they couldn't. It's I get emotional about it.
Likewise. It's really cool just to see the overarching impact on yourself. To take in, like, for a while, I certainly thought that it was about, you know, convincing someone else about something, you know, expressing this message. And, you know, the more uncertain about things, I guess I feel, the more I, you know, you get a sense that, oh, there are, you know, there are a lot of things that maybe you can, oh man. And even saying, a lot of things that you can let go of. It's not even a lot necessarily. It's just a focus. That's all it is. It's like, it's straight up a moment to moment focus. And as soon as you focus on it, it's like, then all these, it's like, oh, there's all these things that have to be let go of. And that whole process, that whole focus of like, oh, once this happens, once that happens, once I overcome this, once I do that, that whole thing is the attention. Like, that's where the attention is being given, as long as there's a focus on like, oh, I should be doing better. Oh, I should be doing more. Oh, I should be saying more, expressing more, sharing more, doing this, doing that, doing like right there. That's the story right there. And it's reinforced by me, you know, it's reinforced by this idea that I can come to some conclusion about myself, you know, some endpoint, and continuing to try to, you know, continuing to grasp for an end, for a spot where it's like, you know, this is me, and therefore I know this and this, and therefore I can work on this and improve that. And it gives all of these things to do. It's like, gives you something to do, something to share, something to express, something to talk about. And it's not to say that that isn't exactly what I'm doing right now, in a sense, but it's like, when it isn't so much about getting something across or convincing anyone of anything, or like having something that it needs to be overcome, then all you're kind of left with is yourself, and yourself in spots where it's like, there isn't so much of a sense of what to do next, you know, like what to say next, what to share next, what to express. But if there's a focus on like, there is something that should be, or there's a right way to be expressed, then there's almost going to be like this simultaneously trying to figure it out as reality's playing out, like as things are happening right in front of you, that you can continue to miss because of this focus on, you know, trying to know something, even trying to know what's being said or shared or expressed reinforces that, distracts you again, trying to understand, trying, you know, to do something for some reason, to, yeah, kind of protect yourself, can always be that thing that gets in the way.
Yeah. Just wanted to let people know who are watching. Hi, everyone. You can join us at twitch.tv/dualisticunity. And then we have comments on screen. You can ask us stuff there. We are trying to keep track of our other TikTok accounts and follow the questions, but it's not always easy as we have three screens that we're looking at. So if you'd like to join us on Twitch or even YouTube Live, just look for Dualistic Unity and you'll find us there, because this is going to be a fun conversation. Because as much as I appreciate all of the invitations to connect and mutually stream, we're doing a podcast episode at the moment. So if you'd like to be a part of that in the comment section, we'd really love for you to be here. But that said, as it is a Monday, we are doing a Patreon call after this. It's a tier one call. And I'm excited about that, because after the tier one call, we're going to be working throughout the afternoon, but we're also going to be live streaming. We're going to be live streaming, discussing things, might go for a walk, you know, that kind of thing. Likely we'll be live streaming on Instagram, just for everybody who was wondering, because TikTok has certain preferences that don't necessarily align with the things that I do on my walk. You know what I'm saying? So if you'd like to join us this afternoon, likely it will be somewhere around the, 4 p.m. Eastern time ish. We're going to be working on our business plan, or rather our investor pitch, and then just hanging out. So if you'd like to join us, that'd be a lot of fun. Otherwise, don't worry about it at all. At the moment, I got to tell you, I'm just excited by the fact that the group that we have this morning is the last tier one call we have this week. So it's our opportunity to connect with the most of our Patreon supporters. Well, that's not true. We got a lot of tier two supporters, a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Which is great. If you haven't joined tier two, by the way, I highly recommend it, because you can chat with us 5 days a week if you want to be on group calls and shoot the breeze with us. But this Wednesday, right, not only is this our only tier one call, but tomorrow we're not doing a movie review episode. We're doing more work. We just got a couple of days of work and packing and producing episodes and whatnot. And then Wednesday we're doing our Discord thing, and then we're doing our free group, last free group before the retreat. Do sign up if you can. If you haven't come to a free group, come to a free group. It's like the best part of Dualistic Unity, in my opinion. And you can register for free at dualisticunity.com under live events. I don't know where I was going with that. Honestly, I was going in a direction and then it just kind of took a shit about halfway through, and I figured I'd follow it, see if it came back. It didn't do that. It's still hiding behind a bush somewhere going, I don't want to fucking come out. So instead, why don't we talk about what we're going to do later on this afternoon?
Sounds good.
Which would be, we're thinking about giving away something. You know, thinking about giving away something related to the California mini retreat. So if you have a suggested giveaway, this is up to you to let us know. What do you think we should give away? You know, do you think we should give away like a huge discount on a California ticket retreat or retreat ticket? Do you think that we should, give away, I don't even know, what could we give away? Give away half off? Give away 1,000 off? Do you think we should give away 1,000 off a ticket?
1,000 is so much. That's such an insane deal for someone.
We can give 1,000 off. Yeah, we can give 1,000 off. Okay, so let's do that.
Why not?
Fuck it. This afternoon. So if somebody wants to join us on a live stream, we're going to offer $1,000 off the California mini retreat ticket. And if you happen to be a Patreon tier three supporter or tier two, just so you know, because I know somebody's going to ask this question. I know they are. Can I use my $350 discount with that $1,000? Yes. Yes, you can. Because tier three supporters save $350 on all retreat tickets. So if you happen to be the lucky person who gets this coupon, then yes, you can use your tier three code in conjunction and save, what is that,
$1,350? Yeah.
So that means you'll be coming to a dope California mini retreat in Big Bear, near Big Bear Lake, with a bunch of cool people, and you'll get all your weed, all your food, and your microdosing for less than $500. For 4 days, and you get to hang with us. That's fucking solid. I'm pretty happy about offering that.
Yeah, likewise. That's a pretty insane deal, dude. But yeah, to get to the California retreat, I mean, that might be if you get a cheap flight or something.
Oh god. Like, or if you live in California,
or if you live nearby and can just get there, like, that's cheaper than, I think, an Airbnb almost anywhere.
Especially for a couple days.
Yeah, with everything going down.
That's kind of funny. We should talk about that at one point. How did you two meet? We talked about this yesterday, not on the podcast, with somebody else. I at one point decided to be crazy and go and live in the forest when I was like 25. And I went and lived off the land for like 8 months, came out of the forest, recorded a shit ton of YouTube videos, and then took all of those offline. This is back in 2006, 2007. Took all of those offline, decided to just focus on being a dad for the next 15 years of my life. 15 years later, my now teenage daughter says, "Hey, you should jump on TikTok." To which I went, "Fuck that. I don't want to do these fucking dances." Because at this point, all the kids were doing the floss. And that's kind of a form of assault, in my opinion. So I had no interest, but she kept bugging me. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I got on TikTok and I started making videos that were less than 60 seconds. And I found that to be a lot of fun. So I got really into that. And then at one point, I remember TikTok's like, you can upload something up to 3 minutes. And I'm like, holy shit. What the fuck am I going to upload? And so as I was clearing out some old files, because I was moving, I ran across these videos from 2005 that I had recorded back after coming out of the rainforest. And so I posted one of them on TikTok and it went semi-viral. I got like 500,000 views, a little bit more than that. And his friend saw it, said, "Hey, this sounds a lot like the shit you're saying." And so he started following me and I went, "Who the fuck is this person with 1 million followers following me?" And so watched some of his content, went, "That's cool." And I was doing some interviews with some other content creators at the time. So I'm like, "Hey, you want to have a chat?" And we did. And we had a chat and it was dope. And you can find it on the Dualistic Unity podcast somewhere. And then I called it about a month later. I went, "Hey, that was fun. You want to do that some more? Let's create a podcast." And that was it. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
Now yeah. 2.5 years in.
And the rest is history. Two and a half years, 400, over 400, close to 500 episodes. But it was pretty damn cool to come across. Like there was a point, I've been catching up on all February episodes. What's up lately? How are y'all together right now? Yeah, I'm in Ray's house right now. I'm moving to Vancouver Island from New York City. For anyone who isn't aware, we've been given some updates on some things, mostly on Patreon, but super excited. We've been able to do a lot more in-person stuff, work just throughout the day together, bounce things off each other. It just makes a lot of sense to be here, and it's an awesome place and I've been enjoying it a fuckload, and it's beautiful and gorgeous. And you know, I always knew I wasn't going to live in New York forever, and it was just time for that. But going back to the meeting story, like when I sort of like realized that there was not absolute truth in the story I was telling myself, like that's all that was hidden. Like it was a sort of such a freeing, euphoric feeling. And it was just that slight enough shift. And so, yeah, I started making all my content kind of surrounding that, you know, talking about that, like not being the story, not being the idea of what you think. And then, yeah, I came across a kid sent me one of Ray's videos. Yeah. And then, you told the rest of it. I was going to share the side from my point of view. But and it's been a very exciting ride. That's just going to get more and more exciting.
Business plan coming up again Wednesday. If you're free, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Sorry, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Yes. We will be doing the presentation on what we're doing, where we are, how we rank. Because man, we really do well.
Yeah.
Like holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. We got another question here, and again to everybody on TikTok who's joining us, if you'd like to ask a question and be involved with what we're doing in the podcast, go to twitch.tv/dualisticunity and we'll see you there. How do you help someone in your life who is struggling and depressed? You're not gonna like my answer at all. And it's just because you can't. And you can try to help them feel better, but that's ultimately going to make it more difficult for them to learn the lesson that's going to get them out of it. You can deal with your own depression. And you might think to yourself, "I'm not depressed." If you were to give a little bit more weight to your thoughts about yourself, you would quickly end up there. And if you can take that in, then you can understand a little bit more about what your friend's going through, right? So it's not about necessarily trying to get them away from depression, because then that becomes a whole new thing to think about. It actually reinforces the depression. It's more or less recognizing that your idea of what you're going through isn't it, right? And until they're willing to see that, there's nothing that you can do, except maybe to remind them that they got this, that, you know, how you feel about it isn't how it is, you know, just to try and remove the, not the perception, but the opinion of their experience, to try and undercut that necessity or that tendency that they have to express their opinion and then dig into that opinion like it is reality, not recognizing that there's a responsibility there, that in holding on to that opinion, you're holding on to all the weight that goes with that opinion, while at the same time thinking that opinion makes you certain about who you are, rather than just putting you in a box. So I would say that's probably the best thing that you can do, is just to recognize where you put yourself in a box. So that way, when they do it, you don't instantly go up, yeah, without thinking about it, because you don't think, you think about it more when you're doing it. That's it. Just lighten the weight.
Yeah. And doing it yourself. And I think not necessarily trying to change someone else too, like assuming that there's something they should be doing differently or better, or even because as soon as there's like that comparison too, it gets tougher and tougher to just express yourself, you know, and dig in yourself. But yeah, it's yeah, there's no one that you necessarily can help anyway. And it's like, as soon as you assume that there is, or think that there is, usually it's, you know, a lot of times for a reason, to make yourself feel better.
Well, it's frustrating.
It depends.
Right. Like when you care about somebody and they're hurting themselves, or rather they're going through something, it's difficult for one to just go, well, there's nothing I can do. Like because you want there to be something you can do. And so you actually start to think to yourself, surely there's something I can do. And then you start thinking, you know, the right way. Right. And you start trying to twist the relationship, and that fucks everything up. It really does. You know, and it's tempting. You know, it's not just that, you know, you want a sense of control. It's that you want a sense of control for quote unquote good reasons. Yeah, and that's unfortunately always where we slip up. I know there was a lot of people when I was depressed who were trying to help me. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people who were trying to, like, you know, give me reasons to be more positive.
Yeah.
You know, don't let it get you down, Ray. All that stuff. And it was just like, yeah, but you don't understand. And that was the point. You don't understand. My pain is special. Right. And that's how you cling to it. That's how you hold on to it. You know, is with this defense that, you know, because you haven't been through exactly what I've been through, any of your advice is fucking useless. You know, and it's just because you really want to hold on to that idea of yourself. That's really what it is. And again, I know this. I've been through this. I get it. Because the alternative is admitting you don't know who you are, what's possible, or even what anything's meant about you. You know, you really want to assume that, because how else are you supposed to know who you are? And everything around you tells you, if you just know who you are, you know, then you'll be fine. You got all that. You know, you got to find your identity. You know, it's like, no, you don't. Because that's just putting yourself in another fucking box. Immediately, you're in conflict with everything.
Yeah. Oh, so quickly. So quickly. Because, like, as soon as there's some truth in a narrative, in a story, like, it turns into this striving just to make it feel good, you know, that perspective. And so but it still distracts you. And it's just then, you know, you're focusing on the thoughts that make you feel good, or you build an entire life so you can look around and feel good about what you've done. And that then is just like, you know, reinforces those sort of thoughts, but you have to maintain all of that. And then immediately there's concern about losing it, or what you would be if you didn't have all of that stuff. And it's like, we can try and keep all of that stuff off, but it's still there. Like our experience is still, you know, happening and playing out regardless. Like moment to moment is closer to what you are than this narrative based on all of these things, you know, that you've done or achieved or accomplished. And yeah, there's no, oh man, there, hold on. yeah. And so, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. I lost the train, settled. Yeah.
So I had to land that plane there.
Yeah.
To hear the engine just kind of kick mm-hmm. off. That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. We just had somebody say happy eclipse day because it's a solar eclipse. Later on today, if you happen to be in the eclipse path, enjoy the show, but don't look at the sun.
don't do that.
What's the Twitch? Twitch.tv/dualisticunity. Thank you. And I'm happy to say that we've gotten a lot more followers on Twitch lately. Thank you, everyone. I was happy to see that we managed to reach 666 followers yesterday. It's always a good sign. If you would like to follow us on Twitch, it's very much appreciated because, you know, we're doing this every day. Alternatively, if you don't want to watch advertisements and you don't want to go and go to YouTube or any of that, you can follow us on LinkedIn. We also live stream on LinkedIn. Yes. And this is kind of a funny thing because we often talk about things that TikTok doesn't allow us to talk about in terms of certain plants and their benefits.
I thought you were giving TikTok a stare over there.
Yeah, now I'm definitely trying to figure stuff out here. There's some comments on the TikTok.
It's a cloudy.
It's cloudy in a majority of the eclipse path. Ha ha ha. See, isn't that funny? Everybody's like, we're going to see the eclipse. And life's like,
no. Nope.
No, you're not.
There it goes.
No, I love that shit.
You thought wrong.
Life art. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. What's the next gummy activity? You know, that's a great question.
That is a good question.
I'm not a gummy fan.
No, you know? Well, they don't. Yeah. You need quite a few, it sounds like.
I smoked the weed, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, TikTok. No.
Nope. Disregard.
Disregard. I meant in the garden.
Yeah.
That's how I get rid of
the
unnecessary plants.
There you
go. But yeah.
Next gummy activity. Yeah, we'll see.
Check out our reviews, because while we haven't had gummy activities, we have had other activities with pre-rolls.
And we've done Instagram.
Three or four. TikTok. I think we've done three or four reviews now.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun. Full out day long like adventures.
Oh yeah.
For sure. And I've been really enjoying those because it really expresses more than just like, oh, it's got this kind of these terpenes. And if you really look down deep at the trichome, and it's like no.
Like dissecting.
Yeah.
Showing the and it's great to look at it, but someone can look at it, you know. In a dispensary.
Well, and there's plenty of growers who have resources of their own. They don't need, you know, another person making a video explaining to them what they can look up, you know, but to make a video explaining this is what we're experiencing. Here's some of the insecurities and fears that go along with feeling uncertain with letting go and how you can deal with it. I loved that. That was really good. It definitely was a lot of fun. One thing to the TikTok people, everybody who's joining us there. Thank you. We appreciate you being here. And if you'd like to help other people find this, just feel free to tap on the screen and do the like thing, because it does a lot. It lets people know that we're here and they can participate in this nonsensical conversation.
Yes. Give it the tappy. That speaker just go off? Or was that? I thought I heard someone's voice sound like it came out of the TikTok screen.
Negative.
Like, oh shit. Are they shifting things around?
That'd be interesting. At some point. But
let me see if the gummy activity. Yeah. TBD. I chilled with the runs. I haven't been running as much, been doing more walking. But the gummies got up to what was the last one? Six. So it was like 60 milligrams. So that was hefty. And we'll see if we do seven at some point one day, maybe, but be having some high seltzers in California.
Yeah, that's for right.
Sure. Yeah. So excited for that. Shout out to Lou, who was on our episode, Lou Polis. Great chat, man.
Yeah,
check that out on our Being High series. But, yeah.
Is it normal to engage in a battle of wits with a being while doing mushies? That's an interesting question. By being, do you mean something you're perceiving to be a separate intelligence, or do you just mean the experience of yourself? Because I would say it's like on Mushies, again, it's like everything else. It's not just under the influence, but all the time, beware the urge to think your interpretation is what's being interpreted. And that's really it. I mean, this is why people have conversations with non-physical entities and then go, there's people in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's people in there. Like, this is the funniest thing that I think I've discovered is that, you know, it's like, oh, we've noticed that people keep having the same kind of trip. Mm-hmm. They keep talking to the same kind of entities, describing them very similarly. Therefore, they must be in there. It's like, or there could be some commonality between what all of these brains are producing as a result of everything they've been exposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, because if the exposure is all there, like in society, if we're being, you know, seeing similar things, then yeah, there's going to be crossover in the trip. So maybe it's like in more so interpretation of this than something on the, you know,
of your own
in the imagination,
but it's of your own intelligence. And this is why this question is interesting. Is it normal to engage in a battle of wits with a being while doing Mushies? It's like, you're just witnessing your own intelligence. It's just funny because there's almost an inability to recognize it as your own intelligence because you're identifying with what you think is your intelligence. So everything that's not identified as yours is something else, instead of letting go of the identity and recognizing, no, it's all yours. Right? So you were both sides of an argument that never really happened, but had to happen in order for insights to occur. You just didn't want to play the other side.
So it was just that it's like processing,
yeah.
You know, and being able to see multiple perspectives. And then, so that can play out, you know, in an experience like that, or in reality and being involved in, and it's like both are also reality. Cause if you garner insight from any sort of conversation that you have when you're awake or asleep, then it's like kind of similar potential. And so it's interesting when someone will have a dream and then try and like interpret the dream and get some idea of what it is, instead of just seeing like, oh, that's another experience, just like the experience that you're going to have throughout your day, which isn't, if it's not happening for a reason or a purpose, then it's like each experience is more of an opportunity to derive insight in and of itself from just, you know, the situation that you're going through or in, as opposed to, oh, this is a means to an end. This is a means to an end. This is a means to an end. Because in dreams, like nothing seems like a means to an end. There isn't enough certainty in a dream to even hold on to like, this is leading to this is leading to this. It really does feel like just moment to moment experiences, which is definitely what reality has been feeling more like recently. It's like, it isn't so much of a this leading to that, leading to that, leading to that. It's like, you know, involved in what's going on. And as I, you know, as I feel very involved and kind of in that, how a dream is less certain, there's more requirement for faith in yourself in that uncertainty, and just like, yeah. And just not focusing on yourself or paying, you know, prioritizing or, you know, thinking that the self that you're thinking about is even you. So,
follow up. I vowed never to do them again. And I prayed and was delivered from the trip. Is that the correct way to process that? It's not about there being a correct way, but if you think about how you process that, you processed it through running away and then praying to a fiction to save you. You weren't delivered from the trip. The trip just came to an end. Right. And all your praying was just, again, a result of that inability to recognize that you're praying to yourself. Like, you're talking to yourself. You're just not willing to look at it because you have an idea of who you are. Right. So you weren't praying. You just talked yourself down. Right. So is that the correct way to process that? I wouldn't say correct or incorrect, but I would say that there are levels of responsibility that'll make it easier for you to not be so terrified of the experience of yourself in the future, or you can look to a fiction that's going to reinforce that fear.
And those are, yeah, those are the options. And the responsibility component is key. You know, it's massive because it's not just about, you know, this, you know, processing in the sense of like thinking about something or trying to get some certainty. Cause like even with processing, if someone, you know, you're trying to figure out a correct way to process something, it's like, in order to get where, like in order to get what answer, because it's not that the processing eventually leads to an answer. It's just a continued process that continues to show more things. Like it's not answers necessarily, but just more considerations and more things that you, I don't know, start to realize or start to see about yourself instead of being more distracted from them. And so the processing very much then happens, you know, in reality, and then shifting as the perspectives, you know, shift and drop off. So, they have a follow up.
Yes.
Yeah. The elders always said in my reserve not to look for unearned wisdom. And that is what I mostly learned on that trip.
What they're telling you is not to follow other people telling you what reality is. You know, that's that unearned wisdom. It's somebody else's answers that came through their journey that you're just holding on to for the sake of security and certainty. That's what they're meaning there. Right. So even just the idea of God, it's kind of unearned wisdom, like whatever that person meant when they were talking about God, not the religion, but the people that religion is based on. And that message isn't something you can hold on to. You have to do your own work to understand what the hell they were talking about. Use your own word for God, whatever it might be, right? You could just even just call it yourself. But the point is that, you know, it's don't look for unearned wisdom. And I like that. You know, it's you know, stop trying to hold on to somebody else's insights. Find your own. You know, but that comes with responsibility. And that responsibility comes with the experience that you just had. I mean, you see, everything you just went through on that trip is what I would say earned wisdom, or rather the potential for earned wisdom. It's not over. There's still more to learn, you know, but you want to settle on something that keeps you safe and makes you feel secure. And that's why you're like, I'll never do it again. You're going to have other experiences that are going to fuck you up just as bad. Are you never going to do them again either?
And sometimes people wonder if they could do that. But yeah, like having, oh yeah. Oh boy. Yeah, the unearned, that shift from unearned wisdom to like, cause that's kind of the shift of like the conceptual versus application,
yeah,
and like actually doing things. And you can, you know, think you know some stuff conceptually and have it almost all being that unearned wisdom, like with very, very, very little application.
Learn from my mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's all you can really do, like to actually learn things is from, yeah, from your own mistakes, learning from someone else's perspective, even, you know, even the books, any of the books, any of the things out there, like so much of it really does try and give you a sense of something to do, something to be, something to improve, like a focus on yourself, you know, like looking for a way to do something the right way instead of just continuing to jump in to things over and over and find out, you know, and experience stuff, and then be able to speak from experiences, not just from some cerebral understandings, but from actually doing stuff and going through things, and then having opportunities to see the consequences of holding on to some perspective of yourself, or trying to measure yourself or how you're doing, or, you know, trying to have an idea or maintain a sense of control. Even as you jump into more and more and more things, you know, you realize that there the futility in holding on to control, but also you're able to build more faith in yourself as you go through things. Like there's opportunity for it, but it's like there's opportunity on both sides as you jump into more and more things. And it's like they kind of, I don't know, maybe go hand in hand. You know, the opportunity to whatever I just said, let go of, yeah, have faith in yourself, but also be willing to, you know, not hold on to so much of a sense of control.
Straight up. But that's it. And like, you'll notice this from hanging out with me. I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants like, as often as I can. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm tired. Let's do that anyway. You know, it's just because you can. Like, you don't have to have that sense of control, but we often want it. You know, what's best for me? What's the best path? What's the right path? You know, it's kind of like we were talking about the investor presentation that's coming up on Wednesday. For everybody who's watching, we're doing an investor presentation on Wednesday. We're talking about everything that's happening with Dualistic Unity, which is our podcast. If you don't know, we have a podcast which is in the top 1.5% of global podcasts. Like, we've been growing for 2.5 years organically, thanks to everybody's help who's been watching us, liking the screen on TikTok, chatting with us in our groups, coming to the retreats. So on Wednesday, we're going to be actually sitting down and doing our first round of investment. So if anybody would like to be a part owner of Dualistic Unity, this is your chance. But while we've been going through that, of course, there's a little bit of frustration, you know, because you're going through things. You're trying to fucking put that presentation together. And of course, there's a timeline. You're like, fuck, you know, like, we got to get this done. Oh, my God, and presentation's coming up and all that. But on the other hand, you can just do what you can. I mean, there's a certain amount of time between now and Wednesday. More time than I'm willing to think about right now. You see, that's the funny part, is that I can panic and go, it's only 2 days. It's 48 hours. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of time in there. And it doesn't take as long as we'd like to think it does a lot of the time to get things done. That's why, you know, often we'll freak out about the task list and then sit down an hour later, half of it's gone. We're like, that actually wasn't quite so bad. But it's easy to panic. It's easy to panic because you want that sense of control. It's going to be like this by this day, and it's going to have this kind of impact, and this is what's going to happen afterwards. I mean, you don't know any of that. You know, all you can really do is your best. All you can do is your best. So this Wednesday, what you're going to see is our best up until this point, based on the amount of time that we have and the amount of other shit that we're doing, because we have episodes coming out every day. We have editing that we do. There's all kinds of stuff. So, you know, to stress about it is to disregard everything else that we're going through. You know, to beat ourselves up for not living up to some fictitious bar of where we should be is disregarding everything else that we're going through. And there's no empathy in that. You wouldn't do it to someone else, right? If they were your friend. If they worked for you, it's funny enough that often you would, because you're paying them. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden there's like a line where you don't have to recognize they're like you because you're buying them. Right. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's yeah. And as soon as there's that thought of, you know, the payment in return, then it's like, yeah, it can totally set off this sort of dynamic that, yeah, there's like expectation with it too, you know? And so, yeah, but it's yeah, it's been fun, you know, balancing everything and going through everything, getting a sense for, you know, where we stand in regards to how things are going, what's going on. But yeah, outside of the investor presentation Wednesday, we got a life troubleshooter well. And that's been
in our presentation.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's a helpful thing to get over there. But yeah, the life troubleshooter, that's been super helpful for, you know, building a lot of the things that we're doing, are getting a sense of, you know, ways to even just like edit certain things or getting a sense for anything. You know, you got a question, you got something you're going through, it gives nice alternative perspectives that maybe you haven't fully looked at yet. But yeah, it's helpful for pretty much anything you're dealing with or going through, even, you know, projects you're working on. Can be helpful to give an alternative perspective for that stuff, or kind of reword stuff. So yeah,
this one's all yours.
All right,
gotta read it out though.
What say you of dream interpretation? Are they an internal reflection or look into the prophetic, or just chemicals and nerves going haywire. Oh goodness, dude. Dream interpretation.
What do my dreams mean, Andrew?
So, I mean, I guess it's similar to life in the sense that they don't mean something inherent. They are what they are. Like, there is opportunity to, you know, experience something and take from it what you will, depending on how much you're paying attention moment to moment. But in terms of even reality versus dreams, like, there isn't necessarily an inherent difference besides how seriously you take yourself throughout. And so when it comes to, you know, dreams being internal reflections or prophetic or just chemicals, nerves going, I don't know, but in terms of, you know, one or the other, the back and forth, it's possibly all of the above and also none of them, because it's not necessarily created by anything specific. It's experienced and it's still you know, experiencing it. And so, you know, if this experience isn't separate from you, then the dream isn't either. So
what do I do about it after the fact, Andrew? What do I do with it after it's happened? And that's really what the question is, right? Yeah. It's like, it happened. How do I control what it does? Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the funny part. Like, yeah. I used to have like a stack of books on dream interpretation. You have no idea. I had books that would tell you, like, if you were dreaming of a white horse on a green field, it meant this. If you were dreaming of a white horse in the city, it meant this. Like, there were so many different things. And there were so many books. And there are so many books trying to interpret specific things in your dreams. And it's because there's a really nice, simplistic thing there that happens where it's like, you can know. Now you are the knower.
Yep.
You know, you no longer have to feel uncertain. And the problem with dreams is that never happens. That's not what's happening. It's like, let's just say, for example, you have a dream where you're being chased. And while you're being chased, you become more aware of being chased, and then you react to being chased. Now, you either react to being chased by stopping, right, or by running faster. And what you're looking at there is the experience of your ongoing fear. Like, what you're experiencing there is your state of mind translated through a dream, right? And that's what you're seeing, is an opportunity to learn more about yourself. Are you afraid? Right? And if you are, that's the dream. But it's after the fact, you're like, well, yeah, but what am I supposed to learn from it? Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. You already did it. See, that's the thing. There were certain things that your brain wanted to process as a part of what you're going through in your life. And that dream helped you process it. Right. That's it. It's not even that the dream is helping you. It's just you're processing you. But without the world around you making you feel like you're not separate, you're just processing whatever it is that you need to process through an experience that your brain can create for you in order to facilitate that lesson. So in other words, if you go to bed worried about your, say, job interview tomorrow morning, your brain's going to process a bunch of fears about that job interview tomorrow morning. Right. And you're going to process it through different dreams. You know, and it may not be dreams about the job. It may be dreams about, you know, being chased by a friend. It may be dreams about your school classroom being graded in class. Like, it may be something that's related that you don't even know is related, that somewhere the synapses crossed to make that fear more reinforced at one point in your early life. And those dreams might be based on that. Your brain's processing a lot of information, and your dream is just an opportunity for it to process that information. That's really all it is. And you could say, well, is it prophetic? Only in the way that kind of like you can get a feel in terms of intuition for how your life is going to change based on the changes you're going through now. But if you get too involved with that, then you're not gaining any sensitivity now, in which case any intuition is just projection based on your needs. So it's tricky. I guess the point is, stop looking to things to answer your problems. Stop looking to things to control. Stop looking for things that mean something about you. Just go. Just keep moving, just keep existing, and stop thinking, well, this means this, and this means this, and this is where I'm going now, because you're just looking for certainty. You're just looking for certainty rather than just going through the process of self-awareness.
Yeah. Cause like if the dream is just an experience and right now just having an experience, then this thought of like getting control in order to get to another experience, that's just something that you would judge differently. Like, thinking there's something to get or learn to become someone better or something better. Like if you get to any of those points, there's the exact same opportunity to judge yourself. There's the exact same opportunity to take yourself super seriously. So if you are looking at life, looking at dreams, looking at everything, trying to figure it out, you know, trying to make some sense of it, it's like you're missing life that's happening, you know, and they can just be experiences, because the less weight you put on experiences in the sense of trying to gain some sort of meaning from it, the less weight you're going to put on any situation as meaning something about you, you know, like judging yourself based on how you're doing. Cause if you think there's the opportunity to judge yourself, you know, you're going to anticipate and fear and worry and try and have control right now in order to, you know, I don't know, guarantee something in the future or get you somewhere else. But I think the more often you can look at each and every experience as more of an experience and not necessarily try and think that it's going to mean something or allows you to figure something out, then there's just less opportunity in general to judge yourself when you start, you know, when other things start to shift and change. There's just less focus on yourself.
Yeah. That's good. We have another question. I like this question. I'll answer for my part first. What do you judge yourself for? Or do you never do that anymore? Okay, so that's a great question. I never do that anymore. And that's not to say that judgment doesn't happen. It's just that I recognize I'm never judging myself. I'm only ever judging an idea. I'm only ever judging something that is a convenient justification for the thought that I am currently committed to.
Yeah, you kind of put me in a spot there, because yeah, I'm like, oh man, yeah, the judgment can feel like a lot, but again, it's like distraction, it's like avoidance almost, the self judgment. But yeah, I mean, if you want a bit of a list real quick and not have like just story, like fucking stories, like can't speak well, don't have anything to share, don't have anything to say, nothing to add. And so even as I'm saying all these things out loud now, it's like, if all those things are running through, like how the fuck am I supposed to hear anything or anyone? Like, how could I even pay attention, assuming that like where is that assumption? Like, oh, I never have anything to share, add, say, and like miss reality that's informative, and then giving space to actually have something. Say, like, how do I think that's possibly going to get me to a point? It's not. Like, it couldn't. It's just addiction. It's just a straight up addiction.
Why do you think you're thinking about you?
No idea.
That's it. Like all the judgment, like you keep thinking you're thinking about you instead of some fictional Andrew that doesn't really exist. Like all you're doing is cherry picking memories in order to validate an idea of yourself that you are judging. Mm-hmm. And that's what your brain does. If you're like, that's me, this is me, this idea of me, your brain's like, okay, well, here's all the things that back that shit up.
Yeah.
Right. Oof. And isn't that the funniest part? And so we're like, well, why am I dwelling on all this stuff? It's like, because you think it's you. You think you're thinking about you. Yeah. You actually think the assumption that you've got in your focus is is you. And that's where all those judgments are hard to let go of, because if it is you, then the judgments mean something. Yeah. If it's not you, then the judgments are just assumptions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Because as soon as it is me, and now as I'm talking, I'm like, all right, if I am just here and like, just like, of course, the any story, it's just like an imaginary character, you know, imaginary friend. And it's, and yet, yeah, it can be so, so enticing to know it, but it is, it's like the inverse reinforcement of it. Like if I want to be sure of something and tell myself a story, then it's like, there's going to be incentive for that to play out. And I think it's, yeah, just the continuous leap into, not even into anything, just like recognizing like, oh, that thing that I'm judging isn't me. Thing I'm judging isn't me, and like, or even thinking about isn't. But then, yeah, there can be, yeah, it's just like, stop doing it, and like learn from there, and like give yourself some space to find out, you know, what it even is like to live involved in reality.
Yeah. Fully. And this goes to the next question. And I like this one. Excuse me. Very subjective answer expected. However, to go off the bald guy's point, do I float down the ebbs and flows of life, or do I go full steam ahead? Now, what's funny about that is you have no choice. You are going to go through the flow of life one way or another. But it's based on that idea of yourself, based on that idea of you that you're keeping safe, using as a means of motivation and using as a means of value, all of that stuff. That idea of yourself you're so invested in is going to make it almost impossible for you to actually have any sensitivity to the ebbs and flow of life, because you're either going to be holding back out of fear or rushing forward out of desire. And so there's two things that are happening. As you are growing, you are starting to recognize where you're causing your own distortion, where you're rushing ahead or pulling back, and therefore feeling conflict with the flow. And as you do that, you're going to recognize more and more, it comes down to your idea of yourself. And you, as you surrender that, you're going to start having more sensitivity for things that happen from moment to moment, conversations that are taking place, and the opportunities that for empathy and insight that happen in all of those moments. And so you kind of learn to feel the flow as you surrender to the fact that you can't escape it, right? That it's always just been you. But it's that hurry, you know, and that resistance, that hesitation, you know, that's really what you're trying to master. And that all comes down to what you think you need and what you're afraid of.
Yeah, because those things are going to consistently push or pull you in one direction or another. And regardless, like, you're going to go through things, like, you're going to continue to go through, like, life is going to continue to happen regardless of the desires or the fears. And so really both of them are just ways to distract right now, like distract from this reality, like what's actually going on. And so they're not even like, it's not that they don't exist necessarily, but they are cerebral sort of things that then play out the more, you know, the more attention that's given. Cause like both of them are feel certain, like I'm definitely afraid of this. I'm definitely desiring this. And it's like, do you know that? Like where exactly does it could be based on certain experiences, but is it something that's absolute? Is it a guarantee? Do you actually know that you're afraid of that thing? Or do you actually know that getting that thing is better for you? And if so, then, you know, looking at the situation that you're currently in, like we can gloss over that so quickly in order to, you know, make just assumptions about, and just to know something, just to have some sort of sense of a guarantee. But if you don't have to know, like if you're cool, just like, I don't really know anything, and like, I'm cool with that, then there's space, like there's space to have experience and, you know, take things in if you're willingly uncertain all the time and like kind of cool with that. Like, I don't know myself. I don't know what's going on or how things are playing out or what's next or what's to come. And that's cool. I'm good with that. Cause like, I have the opportunity to make the most of this. And like, there isn't anything outside of this to make the most of than this. It's not like this to prep for the next and do that. It's like, you're either here or you're not. And what, yeah, like when you're here, there's more opportunity to see things more clearly, I think, as opposed, like, but if you're, you know, focused on yourself or some perceived judgment or need or desire or fear about, you know, about something going on, it's going to be, yeah, make it a lot tougher to take reality in.
Yeah.
You know,
We got one more question here. And I want to address it quickly. We're running down. We're down to our last like 8 minutes, but can't judgment be a tool to help you realize there needs to be change? Example, judging yourself for drinking too much. The uncomfortable feeling / judgment could be telling you to stop drinking. So this is one of those perfect examples of I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. And it's just so interesting how we think if we can just find a way to use this idea of myself, surely it's going to benefit me. Why are you drinking? That's really the question. Why are you drinking, quote unquote, too much? Because you're trying to escape something. What are you trying to escape other than the ongoing litany of self-judgment? Just take it in. Okay? What you're saying is that judging yourself is going to get you out of that bad habit. Yeah, and the pressure of it's going to drive you into another one. Because that's what that pressure does. It reinforces escapism. That's what the foundation of addiction is. Addiction really isn't based on the substance. It's very much based on your own need to escape the pain that you're going through right now. Addiction and pain are rooted, is what I'm saying. And so it helps to just recognize, like, it's the weight. The weight drives us towards a habit that helps us cope with the weight. But if you can realize where the weight's coming from, then the habits that help you cope with it don't need to be there and they start to go away. But we have this carrot and stick mentality. I have to chase a carrot. I have to run from the stick, right? I need to go towards something that's going to make my life better and away from something that's making it worse, rather than just going, oh, the recognition that I'm carrying weight is the insight that allows me to let it go. That's it. It's just the recognition without self-judgment. To recognize that you've learned to judge yourself your entire life and then not judge yourself for doing so will set you free.
Because, yeah, that opportunity, like the opportunity to judge is always going to be there anyway. You know, like it's not necessarily something that you overcome, but it's something that can definitely be, you know, focused on more or less and assumed like, yeah. And this assumption that like the judgment is going to do something, like it's no, it's replacing doing things. It's replacing living, like all of that, you know, additional weight and assumption. And it's just assumption as well. And if it's looked at though, then it's not really taken in or even learn from, you know. So it's interesting, you know, how much we can focus on it and feel like there's something to be done about, you know, about ourselves, you know, something to look at that we have to improve or get better or overcome, and therefore, you know, that experience of judgment is always going to be right there. But if you're not necessarily improving anything inherent to yourself, but just, you know, experiencing things as they come and go, then there's less, you know, there's less of that opportunity for judgment.
Judgment isn't good unless it comes from a place of love, not envy or vanity. That's my own belief. I would say that judgment never comes from a place of love, ever, because the judgment's about you. Right? If it's not about you, what are you judging based on? Right? Like, all judgment just comes from a place of self-validation. That's all it's doing. You're judging because you want to feel good about what you're doing, and you're judging compared to what you're doing. So if somebody's doing what you're doing and you think it's the right thing to do, then that's great. But if they're not doing what you're doing and you think you're doing the right thing, then all of a sudden you can judge them and you'll say it's out of love. It's for their best interest, but it's really just for you. You know, so I just want to make that very clear that, you know, judgment is always selfish. Like, judgment is always the result of self-absorption, of assumption, of the need to feel more valuable and the need to feel more secure. It is never done out of love for yourself or anyone else.
No, never. Yeah. So it really can't come from a place of love. It's just entirely selfish, no matter what sort of judgment it is, you know, assuming that you're doing something right or wrong, you know? And yeah, cause as soon as you judge someone else or yourself, even it's same like, thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's a desire to fucking, yeah. It's, man. Yeah, no, it's absolutely the same exact thing. And it's like, there comes a point where you just can't even hide it anymore. And it's like, things become glaringly obvious. And yeah, and it's just, it's on you. There's no one to help. There's no one to save. There's no one to look to even.
Oh, here we go.
For a sense of how to do.
I love the defense of the need for control. It's always to go straight to the most atrocious example where you must have control, because that's the only place where control actually seems like it's justified, right? And so when you threaten control, control always goes, yeah, but what about this horror story? And here we go. Say you're a parent giving your child an allowance and they become hooked on drugs, and you decide to render your judgment as taking away their allowance so they don't end up dead. Can I just let you know, it's the fact that you're such a judgmental parent that caused your kids to do drugs. Like, before you even go towards, I should take away their allowance, maybe it's being that much of a dick that made them go towards drugs. Think about that. Like, you're so controlling about this person who's a human being. They're a human being. And if you have that mentality all the way up to that allowance point, that's what they've grown up with. That amount of stress and pressure. And as I was saying earlier to the question about addiction, that's what leads to it. They're trying to escape something. So you're controlling them and taking away their allowance is just going to make them do the opposite of what you want. You're just trying to get control. Well, if I take away their allowance, then they're not going to end up dead. You really think you're the only place they can get fucking money? Right? Do you really think they can't find another way? Really? Like, how much control do you really need to think you have? Right? And that's the problem, is that you want to look at, no, but if I do this, I'll get this end result. But it's that very mentality that drives everything away from you. It drives joy, happiness, abundance, empathy, connection. All that shit disappears the more you need to think about yourself and feel in control of others, because nobody likes that. Nobody wants that. And you wouldn't like it either if you're really honest about it. Right? Think about it this way, okay? If you want to be a parent, what kind of a parent do you want to be? Do you want to be the kind of parent that made you feel like you were less? Or would you rather learn from that? So that way, as a parent, your child doesn't have to grow up with the same fucking insecurities that you've been saddled with through habitual conditioning. You know, all of these questions are like, well, surely control works somewhere. And it's always at an atrocity that's brought about through control. Just think about it. It's like, well, kids gonna end up doing drugs. Oh, people aren't gonna end up on the streets. All of which is the result of the mentality of control. So you're trying to justify control through a consequence that's brought about through it. You know, this is the same thing we hear it every day. Oh, people in a war can't just let go. People living in Gaza can't just relax and be themselves. And immediately you're going to an atrocity, instead of recognizing that the fucking conflict they're going through is the result of identity, is the result of holding on. That said, we are at the end of our time. This is going to be a good conversation on Patreon in about 15 minutes. You can join us. It's tier one calls. It's only $5 a month. And we have a free group or a free trial for 7 days. Dualistic Unity, or no, sorry, patreon.com/dualisticunity. And then this afternoon, we're going to be giving away apparently $1,000 coupon for our California retreat. If you'd like to join us, we will be back live streaming on Instagram. You can follow us on Dualistic Unity or Andrew's Instagram, which you can find on his link. And we'll see you all in about 15 minutes.
Bye, everyone. Talk to you soon.